This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the hamd and the rood, we would like to acknowledge each and every one, the scholars, the representatives from the Jamaat, the ambassadors and the embassies and representatives from the different countries, and each and every one. And I hope that I'm not going to take names because I might miss someone. However, I got a short time to be able to give this message. It's not my message, it is a message of the Office of the Secretary General. We thank and express our gratitude to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be part of this momentous occasion of this organization. And indeed, for any organization to be in existence for 100 years, it is nothing short of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace, and it is an achievement, and we make dua that Allah ta'ala accept. It also allows us to be part of the tremendous sacrifices and achievements of the pioneering and great ulama of the past who served the ummah via this august organization. Ulama, both individually and collectively, have played an important role in the moral and spiritual development of the Islamic society. We are all aware of the saying of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the heirs of the anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. Ulama have been likened to salt, which previously used to preserve meat. One can imagine if the salt that preserves meat goes bad and is decayed, what will happen to the meat? Similarly, what will be the position of the society where the guardians and preservers of society become morally decayed and unethical? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us realize the responsibility of the ulama. And therefore, throughout history, ulama preserve the beliefs and morals of society. One can cite the example of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh in the debate of the creation of the Quran. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh in challenging the philosophers and writing and penning his works, Tahafatul Falasafa, the incoherence of the philosophers. And Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullah alayh, reviver of the second millennium, in refuting the oneness of all religions propagated by the Mughal leader of the time, Akbar. And of course, the history of Darul Uloom Deoband and many other ulama formations throughout the world is a testimony to protecting the beliefs, social and moral fabric of the ummah. The responsibility of the ulama, given the peculiar nature and challenges of our age, have increased dramatically. I do not need to elaborate on some of the challenges, whether it be the myriad of fitan of the present age. It includes the traditional challenges of deviant sects and also contemporary challenges such as the rise of the LGBTQ movement. Another challenge is the nature of the community we serve, which is highly polarized, vocal, volatile, and connected through the means of social media. We have to reach out to such a community which has all these different temperaments within the community. In such a setting, ulama need to, together with their normal responsibilities, whether it be the teaching, whether it be the imamate, they also, together with the traditional responsibilities, very beautifully articulated by the master, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, the upright in every generation, the ulama will carry this knowledge, rejecting the distortions of the extremist. And yes, there is the distortion of the extremist, the false claim of the liars, and the false interpretation of the ignorant. In Bayhaqi, this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated. Together with that, ulama need to fulfill, amongst their many responsibilities, given the peculiar nature of our society today, present Islam to the new generation, the youth, in a context and a language they understand. to manage aspects of modernity without the loss of Muslim identity, traditions, and values, remain relevant by addressing evolving contemporary challenges, play advocacy role for Muslim interests within a minority situation, foster activism against injustice and social ills, guiding communities towards the ideals of Islam in a largely secular order, presenting Islam to the people as a solution to all the challenges and all the problems. These are the challenges and responsibilities that face the ulama. In the past, ulama have responded to the demands of the age. The pioneering and founding ulama of the Jamiatul Ulama have laid the foundation for the establishment of Islam in South Africa. It is our responsibility to remain steadfast on the foundation set by them and take Islam to the next level. Many people will ask, why do you commemorate? And I made mention of this many a times. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Relate the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon you. Yes, we have to balance that with another Quranic command. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't praise yourself. Don't boast. He knows who has piety. And we hope and we ask you to make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants us that particular balance. Lastly, I will say with regard to the legacy, and this is something that we, inshallah, will endeavor. The Jamiatul Ulama's legacy will be one of collective leadership. I won't go into much details. In the Maulana Suleiman Rawat read out the statement of our esteemed president about collective leadership. We also commit to pragmatic leadership. We all know we have ideals, but we also have to carry those ideals in line with pragmatism. We have today with us, one of our guest speakers will be Maulana Arshad Madani, the son of an illustrious freedom fighter who fought against the British and was imprisoned by the British. And he, after India gained freedom, he wrote these words in his autobiography, which will be given out to each and every participant. Although the new system in India after freedom is not going to be exclusively on Islamic principles, Muslims in India and in situations like South Africa will have an influential role. How much close we get to the Islamic ideal depends on how much effort we put into it. How much close we get to the Islamic ideal in such situation depends not on sitting by the sidelines, but by putting effort into making the country you live in a better place to live in. And lastly, we commit ourselves to responsible leadership. The Ummah has been torn apart by disunity. There is sloganeering, there is name callings, and we all know about that. You will never find, inshallah, the Jamiatul Ulama being irresponsible in their leadership. We have been called various names. We have been maligned. We have been sometimes clear, blatant lies. In our last executive meeting, there was a clear, blatant lie that was presented before the executive. And after various options were pursued and said, let us discuss it, Maulana Basri Jinnah, who was part of those accusations, he said, leave it alone, Allah will decide. We can't tear the Ummah further apart. The Jamiatul Ulama commits itself to collective leadership, to pragmatic leadership, and responsible leadership. We ask you to catch our hands and be with us and cooperate with us in these objectives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Thank you. South Africa, which has a rich history of providing pragmatic leadership to the constituencies it serves. And then he goes on to say, and I would want for this quote to linger for a while, and to prompt some thought, he says, it's hard to imagine